Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is my counterpart, elite obstacle course racer, and we'll call her the petite powerhouse, Bethany McChesney.
Hello.
So today we have with us a guy who can arguably say his 2020 was the biggest roller coaster ride of anybody. President and CEO, is that correct title of Tough Mudder?
Sure. Chief Mud Officer, whatever you want to go with.
We'll All right. The head man in charge, Kyle McLaughlin. Thank you for joining us, Kyle.
Dave, Bethany, a pleasure. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're just going to start with a recap of 2020. Like Dave said, a bit of a roller coaster for you. So let's just start at the beginning. Now, at the beginning of 2020, correct me if I'm wrong, you were unemployed and Tough Mudder went bankrupt.
Well, it's interesting to summarize it that quickly. I think it's probably worth a little bit more context. So, Joe at Spartan and I had been working on the Spartan Tough Mudder merger for a long time. And well into the kind of middle part of 2019, our goal had been to do a successful and peaceful merger of the Tough Mudder Spartan businesses. Let's just say that some outside influences got in the way and ended up forcing Tough Mudder to shut down temporarily until the court could approve the transaction. So Tough Mudder's bankruptcy was merely a technical thing, in order to be able to get the transaction to happen as originally planned. But we're really glad to be a part of the Spartan family, and certainly was something we were working towards for some time.
Okay. I kind of have a different perspective than Dave on these things because I've never competed in Tough Mudder. So I do have a lot of different questions just because it's not my world for me. So then how does that exactly work with the relationship with you and Joe? Does Joe have say with what happens with Tough Mudder, or does he let you do your thing?
Well, I mean, so first off, being a part of the Spartan family has been great for us now. For two brands that treated each other like competitors for a really long time, but in all honesty, have really different experiences. And Bethany, we're going to have to work on getting you out to a Tough Mudder event. So I'm glad you're willing to admit that, but we've got some problem solving to do there. Part of what was so enticing for us about having Tough Mudder and Spartan under one roof is that when we started to look at both of the businesses together, Tough Mudder and Spartan have about 4% customer overlap now. So when you think about that, right? Hundreds of thousands of people do Spartan, hundreds of thousands of people do Tough Mudder every year. Only 4% of them do both, you know, which means that we're reaching really different types of OCR enthusiasts and athletes and weekend warriors and people who just want to come out and do something fun and hard and difficult and challenging. What we're doing is really trying to make sure that the Spartan experience stays the Spartan experience and that the Tough Mudder experience stays the Tough Mudder experience. And you know, that we can continue to deliver our each special brand of what we do for our own kind of customer bases and continue to attract new people into it. So Joe and I talk all the time, almost every day, coordinate pretty closely, but he wants Tough Mudder to be Tough Mudder, and I want Spartan to be Spartan. And we continue to kind of grow our goal of creating this empire of challenging experiences, right? And hopefully beyond OCR one day, Spartan's acquired things like the Laredo mountain bike race. We're building Spartan trail races all over the world and continuing to add a portfolio of really tough, challenging things that help people transform their lives.
So asking this now as a coach and gym owner, because people ask me this all the time, and it's, tell me what's the biggest difference then between Spartan and Tough Mudder? So you say you want Spartan to have their own experience, Tough Mudder to keep theirs. So then how would you describe then the difference between those two?
Well, so I'm actually going to reverse that question around. I'm going to throw that to Dave, because Dave, I'm going to assume that you've done both, right?
Like you said, Bethany pointed out, we have very different Tough Mudder stories. I will say that in 2013, right there, was my first ever Tough Mudder and my first ever OCR. So that was at Mount St. Louis Moonstone here in the Toronto area. And I did that, and I was hooked. I loved it. I very much enjoyed it. And the difference obviously being between, and I also did my first Spartan that same year. So it was interesting to see both sides. So I saw the both sides of the perspective at that time. Tough Mudder promotes very much a team community atmosphere. And at that time was purely a challenge. There was no race, there was no timing, there was no nothing. It was just purely challenge, can you get through it? Spartan, and this is where Bethany's world definitely was a more competitive atmosphere of, you know, not that there wasn't a good community and everybody stuck together, but it was a competitive atmosphere. It was timed. It was, you know, penalties for missing obstacles, burpees, all that. So that was the biggest difference for me in the two. I quite frankly like them both. I thought they both had their place, and I still do. And also, I am one of the 4%, one of the 4% that overlaps everything. I like to consider myself very much a non-loyal OCR athlete. I go everywhere. I do everything. I'm not in a monogamous OCR relationship with anyone. So yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, that's always been my interpretation. Tough Mudder promotes teamwork, community, and the challenge, whereas Spartan is, although it's community, it's more competitive and, you know, strong survive. Does that sound about right?
It's certainly how we think about it, right? Now, I mean, the Spartan experience is one of really being able to push and test yourself, to race against the clock, to race against others. And certainly, Bethany, you've done that before, and you know, you can train for every obstacle at a Spartan race, right? You can get better at your spear throw. You can get better at your, you know, at your bucket carry. You can get better at, you know, the dunk wall and all those pieces. There are things on Tough Mudder courses that you can't train for, right? And unless you want to stick your finger in the plug socket every day, which we certainly wouldn't, you know, advocate. You can't really train for electroshock therapy. But electroshock therapy is about pushing you to overcome your fear. And about getting you to develop that sense of mental toughness when you're staring down 10,000 volts in front of you. You know, how do you draw on the inspiration of others, and how do you, you know, kind of overcome the mental block that's in front of you to do that? Same thing with Arctic Enema, right? You know, like Arctic Enema doesn't require any special training, any special muscle sets, any, you know, at-home gym equipment to be proficient at it. It requires you to develop the mental grit and the strength to say, I'm going to throw my body into 1,000 pounds of ice, you know, and come out the other side and keep going. And so much of what we put into the design of the Tough Mudder experience is not just about fitness, although that's certainly a component of it. It's about, you know, almost forcing people to have that teamwork interaction. You know, very, very few people can get up Everest by themselves. You know, almost everybody needs to rely on somebody else. And there becomes a certain sense of community and trust when you're running at this, you know, warped wall in front of you, holding your hand out and hoping that somebody at the other end of it is going to grab you and pull you up. And regardless of how big you are, how strong you are, you know, your body type, you know, knowing that that community is going to help you get up and over that wall is a kind of core foundation of what the Tough Mudder experience is. So for Dave, people like you, you know, who want to be able to fill in, you know, different obstacle course race experiences of different flavors, you know, the new Spartan Tough Mudder family offers, you know, offers different products for you to try different kind of parts of your own training, your own fitness, and your own experience. Bethany, some people love the teamwork aspect of it. Some people love the race aspect of it. You're never going to see an international leaderboard or a championship series, you know, with us. You know, what you'll find are varied opportunities, depending on where you are, to continue to push yourself. You know, and sometimes, to Dave's point, you know, we will institute timing and things like a toughest mudder or world's toughest mudder, you know, because we want you to be able to have a benchmark to evaluate your own performance. You know, today I did 50 miles. You know, next time I'm going to come back, I'm going for 75, and without, you know, the timing, we can do that. But the ethos kind of remains true. You know, you show up at World's Toughest Mudder with some of the, you know, the top professional obstacle course racers in the world, and you will still see them, you know, stop on top of Everest, reach a hand back, and help their fellow mudder up the wall. And that's what we like to think is pretty unique about the TM community.
It's one of the best videos I've seen on the internet. Is always that one of Lindsay. I don't know if it's Lindsay and Allison or who it is, but there's four super fast ladies right at the front of the field, running up Everest, getting up top, and then Lindsay turning around and helping the three girls chasing right behind her to get up over Everest, and then they all take off again. And I'm like, that is, you like you say, you don't see that anywhere else. That is not the kind of cooperation that you see in any other sporting event whatsoever. So I always love that video. That's always very cool. That's the one that sticks out in my mind and just defines kind of what Tough Mudder is.
There's so many of those moments too, right? Like you go back to World's Toughest Mudder 2018, Chris Mendoza, Trevor Sykos, you know, a nail-biting finish for, you know, who's going to take first place in the podium. You know, Trevor, you know, comes up to Chris. They have that, or they have an interaction, and, you know, and one chooses to go forward. And, you know, the other one says, like, you go take it. This is your win to go. Like, show me, you know, any other elite professional sport experience where that type of camaraderie happens. And it's not, you know, it's not unique to that, right? We see it on almost every Tough Mudder event, every course. You know, both Spartan and Tough Mudder believe in transformation, right? And being able to give people opportunities and experiences that can get them off the couch, that can get them moving, that can make them become better people. And that's not just better athletes, right? It's not about being just faster and stronger and fitter. It's about being tougher and, you know, being more mentally resilient and opening yourself up to, you know, needing to be reliant on others, and very much a kind of core part of what we do. So
in 2020, you did happen to be able to pull off a couple of virtual events, the 12-hour toughest and the 24-hour virtual world's toughest, which that bib is actually from for 50 miles. And I'm proud to say it's not mine. It's not, it's my fiance's. I pit crewed for her. She did the 50. I was slack. Anyway, so you did these events and they seem to be quite well received by the community for the most part. How were they from your guys' end? Did they come off as planned? Was there anything that you didn't expect that happened or that you did expect that didn't happen?
Well, so, I mean, we did get a few real events across the line as well. Yeah. We did get a Tough Mudder in the UAE and a Tough Mudder in Egypt in the back in the last year, which we're pretty proud we were able to get in there. But the virtual events for us were really a way of being able to make sure that, you know, our core community, right? You know, those who are doing toughest in worlds are some of the most dedicated Tough Mudder, you know, legionnaires and community members that, you know, have been training for that experience, have been looking forward to those, and we didn't want them to miss out on it. So how do you take, you know, what is 12 hours or 24 hours of 5-mile laps and, you know, completing 20 obstacles per lap and replicate that in a virtual format? Well, we came up with some of the craziest things we could absolutely think of. And we honestly went into that first event in August, you know, kind of crossing our fingers and hoping it was going to work. And I'll tell you, one of the most powerful things out of that is, you know, Sean Corvell and I had been talking the week prior. We're like, you know what, we should try to replicate as much of the experience as we can. So we were going to do a little start ceremony. He wanted to speak to everybody. And we never intended to stay on Zoom now for the entire duration of it. But what we ended up doing was kind of hosting this live virtual pit, you know, from around the world, and providing commentary and chat and discussion with people as far as Munich and Denmark and the UK and all throughout the US and Canada, and, you know, ended up with close to 1,500 people from all over the world taking on the toughest that night in what was, you know, probably the closest replica we could get of crafting a virtual experience to deliver something as grueling, and for many people said probably more grueling, right, to try and take on that level of running, you know, for that period of time and doing the challenges either by yourself or in smaller groups, maybe mentally more draining than doing it, you know, at an actual event. So all in all, went off pretty well. You know, lots of new glitches to learn on things like on, you know, shipping packages, something we've never had to do, right? Like you show up and get your shirts and we hand them to you out of a box. Now we've been shipping stuff all over the world. So we've turned into quite the fulfillment and distribution warehouse. You guys can't see it here, but my office is full of vests and bibs and medals and all sorts of other fun things. So it's been quite the learning process for us, particularly as the U.S. mail system has struggled over the past couple of months.
Yeah, obviously we had the same. I was lucky enough to be a part of the get together at the Perry Farm, at Joe Perry's farm, during both toughest and world's toughest. So I mean, I saw the whole thing firsthand. Again, that was where I pitted. You guys seem to have managed to pull off something that I've been the biggest critique of virtual events. I am a complete jackass about it and I've steamrolled a lot of them. But you guys managed to pull off something that nobody else seems to be able to do, where you're able to take an event that is not competitive and still have a winner and placings, and nobody seems upset and nobody seems to be crying foul. Whereas anything else, and I do it too, anything else, any of these other events, I see the little slightest gap in judging and I'm all over it. How do you guys get away with that? Like, why do you get a pass?
I don't know that we got away with it. I mean, I think we were pretty diligent in monitoring, you know, what was going on at the event. I think a lot of it helps that we were doing it in live time, right? Yeah, so a lot of virtual events have said, you know, you go and run your 10 miles, you know, around your neighborhood and come back and post your results, and then we're going to track a leaderboard and see who wins. Whenever you're doing that, right, like the inconsistency of times and circumstances always gets really hard to manage. You know, we were pretty clear that we wanted to replicate the experience as closely as we could. You know, so particularly for virtual worlds, you know, we did it in live time. You know, you had to start at the start time and finish at the finish time, and there was really no deviation from that outside of a few Australians who we let have an early start. We weren't going to make them run from 4 a.m. Sunday morning to 4 a.m. Monday morning Australia time. But you know, with that, we were able to see people's times coming in live time. You know, we worked to build some software that flagged things that didn't look right. You know, so if laps were getting, you know, faster instead of slower over the night, you know, we were able to take a look at those. And I think integrity has always been such a part of the Tough Mudder experience, right? Like, you know, because it's not about a podium and a prize and, you know, and taking home cash, we've really never, you know, experienced the, you know, the level of, you know, cheating or course cutting or, you know, things that you know, others in other, you know, sports have accused, you know, each other of. Because, you know, that sense of integrity and teamwork and, you know, you're in it to push yourself, you're not in it to, you know, to hit the podium is kind of foundational to the Tough Mudder ethos.
So we're going from there, and then you have another virtual event coming out this year, Tough Mudder Equinox. You want to just lay that out there? Because this is brand, like, fairly new that you guys have released. And it is a little bit different than the previous ones, especially with the time of day that it's running.
Sure. So we've actually launched one. So to your earlier point, Dave, I also was quite a skeptic on virtual events and have been for some time. I used to work prior to coming to Tough Mudder at the New York City Marathon. And you know, we had worked on developing virtual races as early as 2016, 2017. And I, you know, back at the time, I was a big skeptic. You know, I'm not sure people are ever going to do this. And then COVID comes around and everybody, you know, switched over to virtual races. And it became this, you know, all right, who can, you know, get people to pay for a medal in the mail if I run around my neighborhood and, you know, and we'll ship you a t-shirt. And that's really not, you know, we felt like that was so insincere to the Tough Mudder experience. So we developed Tough Mudder challenges, which, you know, kind of beyond virtual toughest and virtual worlds, was from July through December last year, you know, a monthly challenge that was part fitness, part running, you know, part mental grit and stamina, and part really, really having fun in a way that you could engage in a challenge with other people and track that. So we've expanded the challenges series this year to include a couple of different things. First of which is the virtual events you're talking about. So we're just finishing up a first 5K, which was a pretty simple way to kick off January and be able to do a 5K. We were offering it for free, you know, for people who wanted to, you know, get their New Year's resolutions headed in the right direction. But Equinox Ultra, which will be March 20th, is being run as a kind of similar to Virtual Toughest, 12-hour event from sunrise to sundown on the, you know, spring equinox itself. So, you know, the day of the year when you have equal sunlight and darkness. And that will be a, you know, traditional kind of toughest format, 5-mile laps, you know, with our challenges in between. And we'll be running that in a very kind of similar format. Perfect for people who are looking to kind of jumpstart their season, get a little bit of a benchmark in if you want to see kind of where you're at after the winter, kickstart your training a little bit early, you know, and see where you're going to be at kind of coming into the toughest season. Equinox Ultra is going to be great for that. And we've got a whole other series of virtual events kind of planned to really complement the live event season. You know, so whereas 2020 was much about a replacement, 2021 is going to be very much a compliment. We're planning a really, really interesting murder mystery endurance event for the summer called Midsummer Night Mudder, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the coming months here. But imagine that you're going to have to, you know, run distances, solve clues, and then based on whether you solve them correctly or not, we'll determine how much more additional mileage you have to complete. So a little bit of a thinking plus running activity there. But in addition to that, we are days away from launching a new series with Marvel. So we're going to have an entire series of Marvel Tough Mudder Fitness Challenges through the course of the year. The Avengers one opens on Thursday, the 4th, upcoming this week. So we're pretty excited about that, and we'll be able to do some pretty cool thematic ones. We'll be celebrating Deadpool's 30th birthday and Captain America's 80th anniversary coming up a little bit later in the year as well.
Well, you got to love that. Deadpool's a Canadian icon. That's fantastic.
Coming in March with Deadpool.
All right. So I want to touch on some of your actual competitive events. And this year you've released the World's Toughest Mudder. We'll be back in Nevada, not in Vegas, but in Lawson, Nevada. And one of the, I guess the first question I have is, I kind of assumed that it was going to be ended up staying in Dallas, that you guys were going to try to go with Dallas. I'm quite frankly, I'm happy it's going back to Nevada. I think it's a better location, but I'm just curious as to what went into the decision-making process as to why it didn't stick with Dallas when it was unable to be done in 2020.
So, I mean, we're always trying to gauge kind of community sentiment about, you know, where people want events to be, you know, to be seen and had. You know, we had an opportunity to go back to Vegas and in the Nevada area, you know, down in Laughlin, in some discussions we've had going on with them for some time, and kind of all the stars aligned and we had the chance to do it. We know how kind of important Nevada is to the Tough Mudder community and having that desert Tough Mudder experience that we had out there from 2014 to 2017. So, you know, with the chance to go for it, we went for it. And as it turns out, it has, World's Toughest Mudder is light years ahead of where it typically is in registration right now. We are nearly sold out on the kind of first pass of it. So we've only opened up about 1,000 spots based on, you know, kind of not knowing where capacity is going to land with COVID planning and things. And we are, I think, down to like less than 10 spots left at the moment. So there's a good chance that it may sell out for a short period of time, you know, until we kind of get better clearance from, you know, from the Nevada government about where we can go on capacity. But typically we're sitting at this type of, you know, about 1,000 people signed up usually in like August or September of the year of the event, not, you know, 10 months ahead of time. So demand for Worlds is higher than it has ever been before. And assuming that COVID continues to get better and we can have a full capacity event, it will probably be the biggest World's Toughest Mudder done to date.
So with bringing then your competitive events back, does that mean that you're bringing prize money back?
So for starters, we like to think about it as the endurance series, not so much the competitive series. You know? So while there are podiums and awards, you know, for tougher, toughest and world's toughest, you know, the foundation of it is really a more challenging experience to push yourself, you know, in a kind of way to evaluate your own performance. We will be returning prize money to World's Toughest Mudder this year. That's something that was important to Joe. You know, Joe made that commitment to customers, you know, when we first kind of announced the Tough Mudder Spartan merger. I think it was the first question that Matt Davis, you know, asked him in the interview is, you know, will you bring prize money back to World's Toughest Mudder? And that's a promise we made, you know, back in December in 2019. We wanted to keep that. So we will have prize money back at Worlds in the men's and women's individual divisions this year. And you know, who knows? We've got some pretty generous, you know, professional athletes. You know, certainly Charles Sykos has donated a lot of his prize money in the past to foundations that he works with. So maybe it becomes a charity giving contest for those pros. We'll leave it up to them.
Oh, that's interesting, actually. So when this is something that I've always kind of struggled with the Tough Mudder thing is when you have a competitive event and there's prize money, and I know you say the ethos is to the community aspect of things. What about the Golden Carabiner thing, which I know had a bit of controversy maybe in the elite situation as well. So how do you make things fair then when there's still that aspect of helping each other?
Yeah, so if for listeners who aren't aware of what Bethany's referring to, in 2019, when we did the year, we did not have prize money on Worlds. We tried a couple of new features to add some kind of gamification to the event. And it's really interesting on how that went down, right? I would say it was pretty polarizing. You know, about 50 to 60% of the, you know, participants absolutely loved it and thought it made for the best World's Toughest Mudder experience they'd ever had. And then probably 30 or 40% of participants absolutely hated it and never wanted to see it come back. And that was really an interesting kind of eye-opening insight for us. And, you know, and as you guys hear me talk about a lot, you know, in interviews and in the community, we like to listen, you know, and we take the feedback, you know, pretty close to heart. And I like to make myself pretty accessible. Most of the customers have my email address. I get text messages and Facebook DMs from customers all the time. So we listened. And what we're going to be doing this year is offering kind of two categories of experience. You know, so if you are looking for a clean and pristine race experience, you'll be able to go into the contender category and there'll be qualifications for that. So, you know, you need to qualify at a toughest event or qualify based on past experience. And you'll be then eligible to buy for prize money and you'll be excluded from any of the kind of on-course games and other components. If you are, you know, there to have a good time and you want to have that experience, you know, you'll be able to you know, to be in the open category, to kind of go in and be identified with a different color bib. So we'll be able to separate people pretty easily on course. And you'll be able to go and have, you know, the kind of wild, grueling, absurd, you know, Tough Mudder, you know, World's Toughest Mudder experience that, you know, that people loved from 2019. So, you know, for us to be able to deliver both of those, you know, kind of both at the same time, but also distinctly, is I think the best bet to be able to give, you know, those who've really trained and want to push themselves in an environment where they know that, you know, 75 miles is really 75 miles, we're ready to offer that.
So what about new obstacles or new penalties?
New obstacles for World's Toughest Mudder?
Yeah.
Bethany, it's really early in the cycle for that. So, you know, dial me up in September or October, and yeah, we'll give you the sneak peek on that.
You're no, not adding the spear throw in?
We might put the spear throw on the kids' race course now. That was always the running joke, right? As Joe and I would poke fun at each other in interviews. We always said, like, if you want to pay, you know, $150 to go carry a bucket of the rocks, you can go to Spartan Race. If you want to you know, come and take on real obstacles, you can come to Tough Mudder. So
I always loved the obstacle innovation lab that you guys had when you brought up the obstacle innovation videos. And I remember that I did, it was 2017 World's Toughest Mudder in Vegas. I think that was the last one in Vegas I did. And I remember watching those videos beforehand, just trying to see what was coming up so that I could make simulations in my local gym so I could be prepared for those things. Like I'm an obstacle geek that way. And that's why I agree with Bethany. I'm kind of stoked to see, like, is there going to be new twists? Is there going to be different little different things? And, you know, I like I said, I hope you guys go back and do that obstacle innovation thing. That was a big hit for me, and I think was really well thought out.
So obstacle innovation will definitely be back this year. We are hoping to start to move to a model where it is done at a few different events throughout the year. So we're able to include more kind of legionnaires and customers in it. It was always a big destination moment, right? It was either in Vegas or it was in Atlanta a couple times. And it you know, was only open to a smaller group of people. But you know, fun fact for both of you, and something we haven't really announced widely yet, but during COVID, we actually have overhauled the entire set of Tough Mudder obstacles. Now, we've never had this opportunity before, you know, where we've had a year without any events. So we've been working kind of diligently on redesigning every single obstacle we've got. You know, a lot of our obstacles had been, you know, the same physical structures had been used for 4 or 5 years. They were starting to show their age a little bit. And it's so hard when you're doing kind of back-to-back events to take those things off the road and do some rehab. So even obstacles that are kind of tried and true favorites may have some new kind of experience and design features going into this year. So you'll see a brand new Funky Monkey, you know, Funky Monkey 3.0 coming out on course, in addition to three brand new obstacles never seen before. Some from the Vegas 2019 beta testing and obstacle innovation lab. So it's going to be a very brand new looking, very sleek looking Tough Mudder obstacle set rolling out in Atlanta for our first event in April.
See, so there you go. We finally got around to it in answering that. Yes, there will be new obstacles that World's Toughest Mudder.
There will be so many new things this year now, but we always keep a few extra things in our back pocket for Worlds. So in addition to what you see at the events, we will have a few tricks up our sleeves for Worlds for sure.
You got to be really careful with that Funky Monkey, the Revolution, because I've said this for years, that is actually, and I've done every race I can think of, that is my favorite obstacle on any race out there. I think it's just the perfect level of difficulty and fun combined in one obstacle. So you got to be, if you're going to change that up, you got to be really careful. You got to tread lightly there, man.
So the difficulty, it's not going to get any easier, I can tell you that. I think what we're aiming to do, and I'll say only this, is that more people will be able to get halfway through it. Just as many people will fail it as they have in the past. So I'll leave you with that.
Well, I owe that obstacle to me getting 2 seconds of TV time on the CBS program because I was there at the right time. I actually was crossing the same time as Lindsay and Allison and happened to get a little shot of me. So thanks, Lindsay and Allison.
There you go. Look, a Canadian delegation there.
I was there like cheering them both on. And I'll be honest, they both fell. And but I can say it was the only time I passed either one of them. So I was very proud. So actually, I have two little gripes.
Uh-oh, bring it on. Yeah, let me get my pen and paper.
That's right. Sorry. Is this right. where you Spartan the F up and such? So we have one event now in Canada, one Tough Mudder event in Canada, and I get that that's mostly because our population is so centralized in one area. The problem that I have with it is we don't get the best obstacles. Like, we were still getting regular monkey bars for Funky Monkey. And it was a little bit of a downer, you know? So I'm petitioning on behalf of the Canadian society. Please give us the good obstacles.
Good Canadian obstacles. All right.
That's
good Canadian obstacles.
Yes. Whatever it takes.
So I'll tell you what, Dave, I mean, to give you a little bit of insight into what the future looks like, we're back in Toronto this year. We have been working to, you know, try to get back to Whistler. Whistler Olympic Park is an amazing venue. It's also an incredibly difficult venue to operate an event in. It's far from everything. Everything is like three times as expensive up there. So we're planning a pretty substantial Canadian expansion for 2022. So more to come on that front as we get into the later part of the year, but we will certainly have, you know, more options. And then also, you know, many of our Toronto and Ontario based, you know, mudders come across the border of Michigan or pop down to Pittsburgh, and we've been able to get kind of a little region going up there. You know, the easier, you guys could work on some customs things for us so we could, could get some obstacles across the border easier. That'd be great. But, the Canadian obstacle, you know, set is going to get a little bit of a refresh, this year as well. So new things coming there too.
That'd be awesome. And then my other gripe is completely out the window, and there's probably nothing you'll ever do about it. But this here, I'm going to show you this. This is like my most treasured award. So I'm one of the few people who got to do Tough Mudder X. And I did. I was all the way down in Miami, from Toronto to Miami, to do Tough Mudder X.
Look at that.
Favorite event of all time. Loved it. And I know the answer, but I have to ask, is it ever coming back? Can we ever have it again?
Never say never. But you know, it's Tough Mudder X, and what a lot of people don't understand is that Tough Mudder X was a made for TV experience. And even that, it was really hard to get a good, you know, TV experience out of it. It was a really cool event to be a part of. It was really hard to do with like more than 20 or 30 people, right? So, Spartan's DecaFit concept, excuse me, is kind of takes some pages from the book of what TMX used to be. I would not at all, you know, kind of rule out a TMX type event coming in the future. You know, but for us, you know, if we're designing new events and new products, they've got to fit the kind of core Tough Mudder ethos, you know, and being a teamwork experience and being something that is approachable and inclusive and accessible to all. And frankly, you know, Tough Mudder X may have been a little bit outside of that, wheelhouse for us. So, now, being a part of the Spartan family now, you know, we get to, you know, make decisions about, you know, crafting products that don't necessarily need to compete with each other head to head. We can do the things that, you know, that work for Tough Mudder. They can do, you know, the things that work for Spartan, and we can build entirely new things like DecaFit that, you know, that work for a big, broad audience of people.
So I need to sell Joe on building obstacles in DecaFit. That's what I need to do. Okay, got it. Yeah.
There you go.
And Yancey, we're talking to Yancey soon, so I'll sell him on that.
You tell him that Kyle said. You know,
Kyle said, yeah.
He's got to carry the Tough Mudder X torch going forward.
Awesome. One of the other things too, and this is where you sell Bethany, is in the tougher waves. So we're still having the tougher waves. The tougher waves are coming back.
Tougher waves are there. It's the first wave, or potentially two waves, on Saturday mornings, and then, you know, based on demand, tougher waves have become incredibly popular in the UK. So we offer tougher actually on Saturday and Sunday now in the UK, but definitely at every US and Canadian event for Saturdays this year.
And will there be penalties for failed obstacles and stuff like that? Because that was always, again, one of the things I struggled with was it was kind of competitive, but it kind of wasn't. And I kept thinking in my head, and maybe I think less of people, or I you know, underestimate their good nature and their intentions. But I always think of someone just running by and slapping the obstacle and taking off, essentially, because the toughers that I've seen don't always have penalties or you know, consequences to not completing the obstacles. Will the tougher waves be having that this year?
They will. If you remember kind of the penalties that we did at World's Toughest Mudder 2019, mm-hmm. Now, tougher penalties had always largely been running, right? It had been, you know, do this obstacle, you've got to go do extra mileage or extra distance. We believe that penalties shouldn't necessarily be, kind of biased towards your physical ability, because some people would much rather just go and run extra miles than do something like Funky Monkey. Yeah. So for World's Toughest Mudder 2019, we built a series of penalties that really made you think hard about whether you were going to try that obstacle or not, because they were physically unpredictable. The gauntlet, or I think it was the gauntlet at World's Toughest Mudder 2019, depending on where you failed, you may have had to go into a giant haystack and try and find a little toy soldier, or you had to go and and take your destroyed hands and use a piece of chalk and write "I hate penalties" 15 times on a chalkboard, right? So people are truly thinking like, all right, am I better off to do the obstacle, or am I better off to to take the penalty? And we'll continue to bring that level of kind of outside the box penalties to tougher and toughest for this season as well. That was in the plan for 2020, and then we all know where COVID took the plan for 2020. So
awesome! I like that. I like that a lot. That alleviates my concern, and as well as, it, like you said, suits the modus operandi and adds a little creativity and fun. I like.
And definitely really expect that those are going to change event to event too. So if you come and master them at your first event, they will certainly be different by the time you come back.
So you can't really train for those.
Well, and that's part of the the uniqueness of Tough Mudder, right? Is you can train and you can prepare up to a degree, but a big part of it is just about getting through it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So that means now you got to keep doing your ice immersion baths, but you got to put like a toaster in the bath with you so that you're prepared. I couldn't believe the first, and I'll say that in 2013, the first time I did the Tough Mudder, I thought the shocks would be like the mild shock you get from like the video game in the arcade. That thing zapped me hard. Like I was the electric eel at the time, and I took one right between the eyes, nearly blacked me out. I was like,
It's not a joke. I mean, look, it's entirely safe. It's been a thoroughly reviewed and vetted and kind of independently verified. We do an incredible amount of safety testing at every single event on the electrified obstacles. It's obviously a big signature part of our experience, but it's not a joke. It is not a joke.
It's a hard hit. One of the questions people have asked me to ask you is the new venue for World's Toughest Mudder. Is there a situation where you'll be able to do, and you know what this is, the cliff or the stacks? Will they be able to do those?
It is January 2021 now. We are 10 months away from World's Toughest Mudder. Those are all details that we will slowly release over time, usually in the form of puzzle pieces, but things that I'm not going to disclose today.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, though. That's I'm going to say yes.
I will neither confirm nor deny. So
awesome.
Dave, do you have more questions?
No, I'm good, Kyle. Thank you very much.
Kyle, is there anything you wanted to add before we sign off?
No, look, I mean, we have an incredible year planned, not just on events, but on Tough Mudder challenges. We've got a whole new suite of training plans that have recently launched, first time ever, including a really exciting announcement about World's Toughest Mudder training plans coming up in a few weeks here, so stay tuned for that. But, look, bear with us. Everybody's still kind of riding the COVID roller coaster here and trying to pin down when the first events of the season will get off and running. We're feeling really good about the calendar we've got, but we will get back to the mud this year for sure, and looking forward to seeing the community out there.
Awesome. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all that you do for this community. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you for giving us something to talk about.